and they discovered very large ovarian tumors, grapefruit size and tennis ball size, and they wanted to operate immediately. And all I wanted to be was a mom, no matter what job I had. I felt like my life was never going to be what I wanted it to be. You know, it was never going to be fulfilled, and it was just very sad and very scary.
What do you do when the news is not good and the doctor's report is certainly not encouraging? What do you do? And you're going to hear Kelly's story today. It's going to be a hope-filled story, by the way. When the doctors said no, but God said yes, I think that's a good title for today's Intentional Living.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author, husband and father, counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Has someone ever told you one thing, but God told you something else? That's Kelly Danielson's experience, and she wants to share her story with you. If you have a story of God's miraculous intervention, please call us at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, helping you discover how intentional our God is, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and welcome to today's Intentional Living. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, where you hear the account that he had what he referred to as a thorn in the flesh. He had something that was wrong with him physically. And he prayed three times that God would remove it. And God didn't. And God got the glory for it. That was the reason. And so we know that God's ways are way above our ways. And they're not, you know, they're not limited to our thinking and to the priorities of our own life. But sometimes when we listen to people, we are listening to the wrong advice. We're not listening to God. And so if you're facing a difficult diagnosis in your life, physically, you've been diagnosed with something that you feel challenged to face every day. What does God have in store? It's a daily decision. It's His will. But today you're going to hear the story of one woman, Kelly Danielson, who will share the story of what God did in intervening in her life. That's coming up here in just a moment on today's Intentional Living. You can tell us what God has been doing for you, how He's been intentional in your life, how you've chosen to be intentional in response. By calling and sharing it with us on our story line at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717.
Hi, I'm Anna Sandine for Intentional Living. A lot of people are taking on their 30-day challenge at theintentionallife.com. Here are just a few. Ada is going to get her eating and snacking under control and lose the 10 to 15 pounds she's gained.
Alicia says, I will get out from behind the computer and spend 1 hour doing something. Cleaning, exercising, or a combo of these things every day.
Ian says, I'm going to get better sleep so I can function better as a wife, grandmother, person, and take care of God's temple.
Jerry says, my one thing is to walk a mile every day and ride my bike a mile every day.
Rob says, I am a diabetic, and for over 30 years, I have never really focused on my blood sugar or a steady routine at the gym. For the next 30 days, I am going to record all my blood sugars, insulin, food, and gym activities to get better control of my health. Each evening, I will evaluate how I did in all areas above and set my focus on the next day. Praise God! What's your one thing? Take the 30-day challenge at theintentionallife.com. For Intentional Living, I'm Anna Sandine.
Hey, listen, you can share your story with us, and we enjoy hearing it, hear what God's doing in your life. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717 and hit the storyline button, and you can leave your story with us. I'm pleased to have Kelly right here in the studio. Instead of being on the phone, she came over to the studio to join in on today's program. Kelly, welcome to our Intentional Living studio.
Thank you.
And we wanted you to stop by because you have a story of God really intervening. But let's hear the story. For those listening, what was it that occurred in your life that left you maybe wondering what God was doing?
Ever since I can remember, I wanted to be a mom. You know, I always said you could have made me president of the world and it wouldn't have been as important as being a mom. And one night, just really out of the blue, I mean, I didn't feel like there were any signs or symptoms before. I got horribly, horribly sick, just, you know, in a lot of pain and more pain, really, I think, than I've ever felt. And it continued through the evening that it happened and the next day. And I finally said to my mom, hey, I think I need to go to the doctor. And they you know, they did some tests while we were there, gave me some medicine and sent me home and told me that it should get better, and it didn't over several days and even weeks. So my doctor sent me to doctor after doctor to figure out what was wrong. And one by one, they ruled out what it might be until one day they had a call and say, okay, we want you to go see Dr. Something at a Tucson Oncology. And I called my mom and said, well, they want me to go somewhere else. And when she asked where and I told her, she got quiet and she said, do you know what that is? And I really didn't at the time. And she said, it's a cancer doctor. And I thought, oh, are you kidding me? So I went to see him and had some more tests, and they discovered very large ovarian tumors. They told me grapefruit size and tennis ball size.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted to operate immediately.
What was that day like? I mean, this must have been an overwhelming experience for you. What were you feeling and experiencing that day?
Honestly, again, because all I wanted to be was a mom, no matter what job I had, I felt like my life was never going to be what I wanted it to be. You know, it was never going to be fulfilled, and it was just very sad and very scary.
Yeah. You even feel it right now, don't you?
I do.
I can
yeah.
see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
You're feeling what that day was like. And so the focus really wasn't on yourself so much that day. It was the loss or the sense of, hey.
Right, what wasn't going to be.
Yeah, what wasn't going to be. And is that what they shared with you? The opportunity for pregnancy was a closed door as
right,
a result of this?
Right. As he prepared me for the surgery and let me know what was going to happen, he gave me some kind of best case and worst case scenarios. He told me that most likely it was ovarian cancer and that they would have to remove my ovaries completely, which, again, would take away, obviously, any chance of having my own children. You know, best case, I would be in the hospital for 3 days, and worst case, I would be in for a week. And he gave me a best and worst case as to how long I would be out of work and kind of where I was, you know, going to go from there, what life was going to be like. And again, all I heard was I wasn't going to have kids. You know, that was it.
And so you had the surgery.
I did. I had the surgery, but I think the most exciting part is what happened the night before. You know, again, all the medical things you have to prepare for a surgery like that I was doing. And the night before, literally on my bathroom floor, I just started to cry and pray and just say, you know, I don't understand. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what it means for the one thing that I've always wanted to be taken away. I don't get it. Mm. But I know that you always do what's best for me. I know that there's a reason. I don't think anything happens, you know, without a reason. I don't believe in coincidence. So I thought, if this is happening, then there's a reason, and that's okay. You know, it's not okay what's happening, but I know that you love me, and I know that you're not going to do anything that isn't what's best, and so I'll trust you. And someday, I'm sure that I will get it. I will see why this is happening right now. I don't right now. I'm not happy, but you know, one day I know that you'll work it out for me. And at least after the surgery, my body will be mine. And where I go from there, you know, are going to be my choices and my decisions. And I'm not going to be controlled by this. And never before and never since have I felt such peace. I mean, right. I think unless you've really felt it yourself, you can't even explain it. But I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew it was going to be okay. I really feel like you told me that.
Hold on for a minute, Kelly. I want you to come back. We want to hear the rest of the story. And being intentional living, I'd like to know, as the story unfolds, how you've chosen as a result of your experience to be intentional in your faith walk, and what difference that's making, and what's occurred, because there's some good news here at the end of this story. You know, and it may be that whatever story you share, whatever journey you've been on, you may still be in the middle of this thing. I mean, life is, what does it say? There's good days and bad days. Ecclesiastes tells us there's days to be born, there's a day to die, there's a day for rain, there's a day for sunshine every day. And I think what Kelly's sharing with us is when we get to a place in our life when we realize we are not in control. Ultimately, God is the one in control. And what we get to do is the opportunity to be obedient to him every day. There's where the peace comes. In fact, doesn't it say to us in Romans chapter 5, I was looking at this this morning about hope, the hope that we have in Christ, where it says, knowing that tribulation will produce perseverance, perseverance will produce character, and character is what produces hope. And so it is through these times of trials, these tribulations, these things that we cannot explain. If we allow God to work in our lives and we persevere and we allow that to build that spiritual character in our life, there's where hope comes. Hope doesn't come just by getting up in the morning saying, I have hope. Hope is something that I think we deeply, deeply experience. And when we get there, God can do something really special. We'll have more from Kelly here in just a minute. Tell us your story as well. Tell us what God's been doing in your life as you call 888-888-1717. There was a Japanese proverb that says, fall seven times, stand up eight. And that's where some of you are. Some of you have fallen down seven times, and you don't want to get back up. But you got to get back up. That's the only time, that's the only way we can win in life, but the things that matter most. Now, when you face resistance, use the power of one thing to help you get up that eighth time and keep going. That is intentional living every day. Getting up, you know, today maybe it was a tough day to get up physically, emotionally, maybe even spiritually. And we don't know sometimes what God is doing or allowing to be done in our lives. We simply trust Him, don't we? We trust that He is sovereign. Ultimately, He is sovereign, and His will is what we seek. You know, every month we get a chance to send a brand new teaching out to 3,600 people around the country who are on a journey of living intentionally in Christ. I'd like to have you come and join us as well. You'll receive a teaching similar to the excerpt you just heard, an entire teaching every month to help you on your journey of living intentionally. And Dawn is here to help you. Sign up today to be a part of that journey. Dawn?
Hey, Dr. Randy, thanks. You know, I'm looking forward to next month, and I want to let all of our members of Intentional Living know that their monthly teaching CD from mm-hmm. you is getting ready. It's being prepared and going to be on its way next month. But it's all about the vital signs of leadership.
And I took the word leadership and made an acrostic. There you go. Taking each letter and teaching on it. And for the letter L, for instance, do you know what it is? Great leaders in family, in business, and in relationships, listen.
Listen.
And so we're going to just teach you what it means to be a good leader and really thought about these principles, and we'd love to get it into your hands, and you can still join us.
That's right. You can look forward to that coming next month. If you are a current member of Intentional Living, if you'd like to join today, we can get you on track mm-hmm. to receive the following month's CD as soon as that's available, and it's very simple. We'd love to get those teachings into your home and your family, and a lot of people actually are passing them on right. To friends, to family members, even starting like a church library with the CDs, and we are totally in favor of that. But if you'd like to become a member supporting Intentional Living and taking your life to that next level, I encourage you to go online right now to theintentionallife.com. Again, it's theintentionallife.com. Let us know you'd like to be a member and receive those teaching CDs, or you can handle it on the phone if you prefer. Call our ministry center at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Hey, have you joined our Facebook family yet? You'll find interesting questions and compelling answers, people who pray for, and people who will pray for you. Join the family today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on the Facebook icon. You're going to hear the rest of Kelly's story with Dr. Randy, so don't go away. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
Good morning.
Man, you are glued to your phone. What is so interesting?
Oh, sorry. I just got a little wrapped up in this devotion from Intentional Living.
Seventh floor.
On your phone?
Yeah, I've signed up at the website, and they send it to me every weekday. I usually read it in the elevator on the way up to the office.
Tenth floor. floor.
That would explain why you missed your stop on the eighth floor at least twice a week.
Going down.
Get devotions, hear shows, and share your intentional story at theintentionallife.com.
Welcome back to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, life is busy, and I suspect that 30 minutes of uninterrupted time for you is nearly impossible. So if you missed any of today's broadcast or any of the previous ones, you can visit our website and click on the Archives button. We've got dozens and dozens of Dr. Carlson's programs, and you can listen to them anytime, day or night. Podcasts are also available at theintentionallife.com. Randy?
All right, Kurt, as you were saying, dozens and dozens of programs available there. I was thinking, man, I must be an old guy, you know, after all these programs we've done over the years. But they're there for you, and I hope you'll enjoy the content to help you as you walk in your relationship with Christ, as you grow to be intentional. It's there for you. Just stop by our website when you go to theintentionallife.com, and there are helpful articles. You can connect with our blog. You can get to the Facebook page. Also, when you're there, on the bottom of the homepage, you'll see the 30-day challenge. And there we have over nearly 33,000 people who've already allowed us to pray with them about one thing for 30 days. Come and tell us what that one thing is for your life so we can pray with you. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Getting back to Kelly Danielson here in just a moment as she continues to share her powerful story of God's love.
This is Betty Garrett, founder of Caregivers for Cancer. One way you can be intentional in your caregiving is to take care of yourself. You know, we try to be superhuman, thinking this is the thing you do. Wrong. You cannot be at the top of your game as a caregiver and advocate for your loved one if you are tired and stressed all the time. Give yourself permission to take time just for you and don't feel guilty. Your loved one may need some time away from you, too. Call a friend, go have lunch, see a movie, take a 10-minute walk twice a day. My favorite was scheduling a massage. Talk to someone in your worship group. Get a journal and write your thoughts. Look for humor in everything. Remember, humor is a form of therapy, so use it. For intentional living, this is Betty Garrett.
Thank you, Betty, for sharing with us here today on a very important program, one that I hope you experience the hope that we talked about here a few moments ago, that Paul reminds us comes through the building of our character, through perseverance, patience, and ultimately through the trials that we never expect in life, but they come. We all have them. Here's the reality. Either we're going into a crisis, we're coming out of a crisis, but that's just part of life. That's part of how our character is built, and we can either give up or we can really persevere and trust in God. We can either allow His peace to reign in our life or we can see it as a problem and then get lost in that. So tell us your story as well at 888-888-1717. And Kelly has stopped by the studio to be with us here today on the program. And you were told that you probably wouldn't have children. You'd have to face the surgery. And 24 hours before that, you really, God got a hold of your life. Something special happened spiritually. So you went into that surgery with a lot of peace, that you gave it all to Him. What happened?
I did. I was reassuring everyone else that morning that it was going to be okay because I just, again, not knowing the outcome, I knew whatever it was okay. So, again, best case, they might be able to save a little tissue, and worst case, everything would be gone. And when I woke up, I asked the nurse, "Do you know what happened to me?" And I'll never forget. She said, "Yes, honey, it's all still there." And that still just chokes me up thinking about that. So after I passed back out again and woke up, he was able to leave both of my ovaries. Even smaller scars than what, you know, he had said. I went home that day, which was even better than the best case scenario. Wow. I was back to work 3 weeks earlier than they said that I would be. It wasn't cancer. Hmm. It's severe endometriosis. So they did tell me I had very little, if any, chance of getting pregnant and even less chance of carrying a child to term. So I still was struggling with that. Hmm. And I had to have some other tests and, you know, type of things happen in the months after that to see make sure that I didn't have anything else going on.
Well, how is it then that you just told me you got a 13-year-old daughter who's having a birthday? Didn't you say?
I did. She just turned 13 on Monday.
So obviously something else special happened in your life.
My surgery was in October of 98, and my first daughter was born in May of 2000.
And you have three now.
I have three amazing precious daughters. Yeah. I do.
Hey, what have you learned about life through this, Kelly?
That it's not about me. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that I could have done to make that any different. And, again, I always say, man told me I wouldn't have children and God told me I'd have three. I love to say that. Yeah. And I don't think it was, although I had an amazing doctor, he's not who healed me. I believe that it was God. And I believe that, when you think Psalm 37:4, I really put my trust in him and my hopes and literally everything that I wanted, I put on a plate and handed to him. And it came back to me so much more than I ever could have imagined.
Now, Kelly, there's probably a woman listening somewhere who's thinking, that's great for Kelly. It all worked out. It's a happy ending. It's a storybook, story. You trusted God. You went into surgery. Said you wouldn't have children. Now you have three precious daughters. And she's thinking, I trusted God, went through her experience, and the children didn't come, the infertility, whatever it may be. Would it still have been okay? As you try to reach back into your heart, if you had come out of that surgery and it had been cancer, and if there hadn't been children, do you think that would be different for you today? I mean, as far as your trust in the Lord? I know it's hard to speculate, but
I don't believe that my trust in him would be any different, because there have been several times in my life where I believe the only reason I am here or the only reason I got through something was because of him. It's not, been the best of times, but never did I question that he loves me. And even that night when I said it's not okay if I don't have kids. And it wouldn't have been. I mean, I would be lying if I said that I would have been happy, or that would have been my choice. But again, because I believe that he wants what's best for me, then somehow he was going to show to me why that was what was best. Yeah. That maybe there's something different or better waiting that he just hasn't shown to us yet.
How has parenting as a result of what you've been through been different? Every time you see your daughters growing up, do you have a different thought about parenting, do you think?
Well, I say that. I always say every baby is a miracle and a blessing, but I just feel like mine are more so to me. And I'm sure every mom says that. But when I look at them and realize, my first checkup with my baby, my doctor looked at her and said, you realize you weren't supposed to take that baby home. And I really believe that it even affected some of the medical staff, because they truly said, I can't explain it. It was there and now it's not, and I know what happened. And even if I hadn't had children, I believe that he still would have used me somehow, because I haven't given up. I mean, it never occurred to me to blame him or think that he wanted something bad for me. It's my choices that make me go down the wrong road. Mm-hmm. It's never been him. So
sounds like the most significant point in this whole story goes back to those hours before the surgery where you really cried out to God and you said you had a peace, like
he
you
said, trust me, and I did.
That you have to experience to really understand. What do you say to a woman listening today, or a man, but someone listening who is facing in the next few days, could be a medical challenge or marital thing or whatever, but it's their story. What you learned on that night, that night before surgery, what would you share with someone today?
Not to give up on him. He does want what's best for you. He wants to love you, and he wants things to turn out right. What our right is isn't always his, but it's the right way to go. I don't know if that's making sense. Just because they're our wants isn't—we can always look back and say, oh, I wish I had done this differently or that differently. But I really believe that if you give the reins to him, then it is going to be the right thing, and he's going to make it what you want.
Do you think you're a stronger person?
Absolutely.
As a result of going through this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had this passage opened here, Kelly, this Romans chapter 5 passage on hope before you came in the studio, thinking about hope, because that's part of our ministry. We talk about experience hope and know the hope of Christ. And it's easy to say that, have hope, experience hope. And a lot of people don't. But again, reflecting on what I shared a little bit ago, the kind of hope that Kelly has shared with us today is the kind of hope that comes through difficulty, perseverance, and character building. See? And that's what Paul talks about. He says, glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. James calls it joy. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so the hope that you're sharing today, Kelly, has come through that the challenge in your life. I think sometimes we all have challenges of some sort. And you may be listening today, and you're thinking, well, I don't know how I could go through what Kelly went through. But maybe you're going through something in your marriage, your family, your finances, maybe with your health, or just the way you're living today. And don't waste the opportunity to face the challenge that you have by giving it to God and realizing that ultimately He's in charge. Intentional living is not about manipulating our life into perfection. Intentional living is all about obedience, to see that whatever we face, if we choose to come back and be obedient to Scripture, there's where the hope comes. That's the ultimate hope. And that's the ultimate in living intentionally in Christ. Kelly, thanks for making an effort to drive over here and be with us in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
And God bless you. Now you got a teenager. We'll have you come back in a few years, and we'll talk about those challenges.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Hello, Randy. This is Albrecht calling in Rochester, Michigan, telling you how I am being intentional. For the last 3 years, I've been battling cancer, receiving chemo since February 2010. But by the grace of God, life to tell about it. And I have learned to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit directs me to speak to people, to encourage people. When I'm at the cancer treatment center, it's unbelievable how many opportunities I have to share Scripture with people, to pray with people. I don't dare go to the infusion center without my Bible with me, because invariably, the Lord will send me to somebody that needs to hear that God loves them.
Good for you. Listen, everywhere, but especially at times in life when we're facing a crisis of our own mortality, that we're reminded to number our days, that we can have a heart after wisdom, as the psalmist put it. You know, the Scripture says in Psalm 139 that you are the one who put me together inside my mother's body, and I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me. It's a great reminder. Well, tomorrow we're going to continue on with our discussion on intentional living as we focus on getting on the same page in your marriage. If you're not, you should be. We're going to help you do that intentionally tomorrow from our Intentional Living Center.